I met Claire, my wife, on February the 16th, 2008. I remember it well. I was visiting Katie, a friend from university who lives in Belfast. Katie, who I suspect may have been matchmaking, invited Claire to join us for dinner in the evening. I was blown away by Claire's beauty the moment I first saw her. By the time I left Belfast, I knew I wanted to be with her. Unfortunately, though, Claire lived in Belfast, and I lived in Sussex. Claire worked very long hours as a doctor in a hospital, and I worked very long hours and 6 days a week in a boarding school. So no matter what I wanted, it just seemed impossible that it could work out. Finding time to meet up would be incredibly difficult. Flying backwards and forwards between Gatwick and Belfast would be very expensive. I decided that there was no way it could work. I pondered it long and hard, but ultimately decided that it wouldn't work, so it was pointless even thinking about it. Of course, in the end, it did all work out, and I'm very grateful for that. But that is another story entirely. Why am I telling you this? Well, sometimes we meet a person who has the potential to transform our lives. In order for that transformation to take place, though, we usually have lots of considerations to make. Do we make time in our busy lives for this person? Do we allow them to disrupt our regular routine? Or do we turn our back and carry on as we are? In today's reading, we witness two people who encountered Jesus, who responded to him in very different ways. That encounter, though, did radically change their lives forever. Philip and Nathanael both encountered Christ, and whilst both ultimately decided to follow him, the way they reached their decision to give up their own lives and follow Christ was markedly different. Today we will consider the way in which Philip and Nathanael responded to their encounter with Christ. We will reflect on whether we see anything of ourselves in Philip and Nathanael, and we'll reflect on what a life following Christ might mean. We'll do so under three headings: follow me, come and see, and finally, a question: what will we see if we come and follow Christ? So to our first point then, follow me. The first person we witnessed encounter Christ in our gospel reading today was Philip. And what is noticeable straight away is how John describes their encounter. Today we often speak of seekers, people who have not committed their lives to following Jesus, but are looking for him with the possibility that if they find him, they will follow him. Perhaps there's some seekers in our congregation today. Looking at this encounter in our reading, though, it seems that when we speak about seekers, we get things the wrong way round. Take a look at John 1, verse 43. It's clear that it's not Philip who was seeking. It was not Philip who found Jesus. No, John is very clear indeed in his writing that it is Jesus who found Philip. It is also worth remembering in our faith lives that it is not true that it is we who are seeking Jesus. It is not us who is looking for God. Rather, God is seeking us out. He loves all his people and is desperate to have a relationship with us, to get to know us. The question is, will we be open to his approach? Philip was most definitely open to Jesus' approach. Without any introduction whatsoever, Jesus said to Philip, "Follow me." Jesus' commandment hit Philip right between the eyes. For Philip, there was no question whatsoever about what to do. He immediately dropped everything to follow a man that he had only just met. For Philip, this single moment represents a truly life-changing decision. Yet his response was instantaneous. He could justifiably have said, "Hang on, this is a rather big step you're asking me to take. Do you really want me to follow you? Do you really want me to drop everything right now? Do I have to decide this minute?" He didn't, though. Philip could have come up with hundreds of different reasons why he shouldn't follow Jesus, a man he had only just met. He didn't, though. Jesus commanded him to follow, and he did. There was something so powerful about the very presence of Jesus that Philip unquestionably dropped everything to follow Jesus. I wonder if you can identify with Philip here. We all have our own conversion stories. I wonder if yours is like Philip's. Was there something about Jesus that smacked you between the eyes the instant you heard about him, that meant you had to drop everything and follow him? Philip's particular conversion story is magnificent because there is something truly supernatural about it. There is nothing that we, as mere humans, could do to affect an experience like Philip's. Philip encounters Christ and is immediately transformed. His life is immediately changed. Did you hear Jesus call, "Follow me," and surrender your life to him? Perhaps you're here today as a non-Christian trying to find out more about this Jesus that we worship. Maybe you would describe yourself as a seeker. If that's you, then reflect on the way in which Philip came to follow Jesus. Philip wasn't looking for Jesus. Philip didn't set out to find Jesus. Instead, Jesus set out to look for Philip and found him. In the same way, Jesus is looking for each of us. If we're open to him, as Philip was, he will find us and he will ask us to follow him. Are we already following Jesus? Have we responded to his call of "follow me"? Like Philip, have we dropped everything and surrendered our lives to him? Well, let's move on to our second point and our second character. Our second point is "come and see." Whilst Philip's response to Christ was immediate and unquestioning, not everyone's response is quite so dramatic. The second person we met in our reading today was Nathanael. His decision to follow Christ was rather different to Philip's because his conversion did not start with Jesus, but with a friend. That friend was Philip. Philip was so excited about finding Jesus that he immediately had to go and find his friend Nathanael to tell him all about Jesus. Philip's excitement was bubbling over, and there was nothing that he could do to contain it. He just had to share his faith. I wonder if we feel the same way. If we know and love Jesus, does our excitement at finding our Saviour lead us to seek out our friends to tell them about Jesus? Does our passion for Christ bubble over when we're with our friends to the extent that we can't help talking about Jesus? If it doesn't, I wonder why that is. Do we truly know Christ? Do we honestly follow him? Have we really surrendered our whole lives to him? Well, let's look at the kind of guy that Nathanael was. It quickly becomes apparent from John's somewhat limited description of him that he was rather different to Philip. Nathanael was a devout Jew who took his faith very seriously. He knew his scripture and had previously been spotted by Jesus sitting beneath a fig tree, which was a common place for Jewish people to sit, ponder the scriptures, and to pray. So it makes sense that is exactly what Nathanael had been doing. He was also clearly what we might call an intellectual skeptic. Philip began his introduction to Jesus by telling Nathanael that "we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets wrote." Philip knew that the way to share Jesus with his friend, the devout Jew, was by appealing to Jewish scripture. On hearing Philip's introduction, though, Nathanael remained sceptical. On hearing that Jesus comes from Nazareth, he responded, "Can anything good come from there?" Perhaps this was first century inter-town rivalry. Or perhaps Nathanael, as a scholar, knew that the prophecies of the Old Testament pointed to the Messiah hailing from Bethlehem. Perhaps Nathanael would have responded differently if he had known that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Philip's enthusiasm for Jesus, though, was not diminished by Nathanael's cynicism. Far from it. Instead, he urged his friend, "Come and see." He knew that if Nathanael encountered Jesus for himself, he could not help but be transformed. He knew that if Nathanael was to encounter Christ and experience the passion and excitement of knowing Jesus, just as he had done just moments before, Nathanael would have to leave his intellectual comfort zone and place himself before Christ. If he was to know Christ, Nathanael would have to meet Christ and experience Christ. I wonder if you've ever attempted to bring someone to faith, perhaps a friend or a family member, who has responded in the same negative, cynical way that Nathanael did initially. Nathanael sneeringly responded to Philip that no good could possibly come from Nazareth. At that point, Philip could have given up, or he could have argued and debated with Nathanael, telling him that he was wrong, that Jesus is good, that Jesus is worth following. Instead, though, Philip knew instinctively that the only way Nathanael would come to know Christ for himself was not by arguing, but by encountering him face to face. So he invited him, "Come and see." Rather than engaging in fierce arguments and debates with our non-Christian family and friends, we would be much better off by inviting them to come and see, to come and meet Jesus for themselves. It's only through an encounter with Christ that lives can truly be changed. How do we enable someone, though, to meet Christ for themselves today? How do we emulate Philip's invitation to come and see? Well, the Bible tells us that Christ dwells in all who truly believe. If we are true Christians, then, we can introduce Jesus through the way that we live, the things that we do, and the words that we say. We can also invite our friends to groups like Alpha or Christianity Explored, where they can have the opportunity to encounter Christ in his word and to ask questions. Nathanael deserves credit because he took Philip up on his invitation to come and see. Nathanael was an honest skeptic who was willing to follow the truth wherever it might lead him. So he did go with Philip to meet Jesus. And Philip was absolutely right to invite Nathanael to come and see. Nathanael does encounter Jesus, and as Philip suspected, he immediately dropped everything to follow him. What immediately struck Nathanael about Jesus was that Jesus already seemed to know him. Nathanael was stunned by Jesus' knowledge of him. On seeing Nathanael approach, Jesus commented, we can see in verse 47, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael was shocked because Jesus seemed to know him already. This was more than a casual, "Haven't I met you somewhere before?" Jesus didn't just recognise Nathanael's face, he knew what was on his heart. Unfortunately, from reading the Gospel account, we don't really know what it is about Jesus' greeting that so shocked Nathanael, but clearly there was something. Some have speculated that Nathanael, whilst he had been studying God's word under the fig tree, may have been reading about Jacob's encounter with God in the desert. Jacob could have been said to have been deceitful, since when he encountered God in the desert, he had left his home after deceiving his father and cheating his brother out of his birthright. When Nathanael first met Jesus, he was shocked by Jesus' reference to him being an Israelite in whom there is no deceit, by which Jesus could be making a direct comparison between Jacob and Nathanael. Clearly, if Jesus did know exactly which text Nathanael had been studying, he would have been a little surprised. Whatever it was about Jesus' statement to Nathanael, it clearly stunned him, because Jesus displayed knowledge of Nathanael's thoughts, which if Jesus was an ordinary human, there was no way that he could know. Nathanael, in a state of some shock, asked Jesus, "How do you know me?" Jesus replied in verse 48, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Nathanael was absolutely gobsmacked by this response. Jesus seems to have not only seen him whilst he was under the fig tree, but seen into him, seen what he was thinking, seen what was on his heart. At this, Nathanael's scepticism withered away. He now knew that this man, Jesus, was special. How else could he have known so much about him? He recognized that Jesus had supernatural knowledge. It was the only way that Jesus could possibly have known what he had been thinking. And in response to this revelation, Nathanael immediately declared, "Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." His thinking was immediately changed. Indeed, Nathanael's whole world was changed by the recognition that Jesus was the Son of God. If we will only come and see Jesus for ourselves, he will transform our lives too. If we recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, our thinking will be changed and our world transformed. If we encourage our friends too to come and see, the same will be true for them. If they genuinely encounter Christ, they will respond in the same way that Nathanael did. What is it, though, that makes Christ such an exciting proposition? What is the reward that awaits Philip, Nathanael, the rest of the disciples, and us too, if we follow Jesus? Well, the answer to that lies in Jesus' response to Nathanael's declaration of faith, and it is that answer to which we will now turn our attention in our third point. It is in the next part of our reading that Jesus addresses the question we may ask if we come and see. What is it that we will see? After Nathanael's recognition that Jesus is the Son of God and King of Israel, Jesus told his disciples that they would see incredible things if they stick with him. Jesus took Nathanael and the others back to the passage in Genesis that Nathanael may have been studying while sitting under the fig tree. In that passage, Jacob, who had been forced to leave home, lies down to sleep and sees a vision. In that vision, he saw a ladder with its foot on the ground and the top reaching heaven. On the ladder, he saw angels of God going up and down it. Above it, he saw God, who promised him that he would give Jacob and his descendants the land on which he was lying. All people, God promised Jacob, would be blessed through his offspring. In his promise to Jacob, God once more demonstrated his love for his people. Previously, people had tried to reach up to God with the Tower of Babel and had been punished by God. Now, though, God himself was reaching out once more to his people in the hope that they would come to know him and establish a positive relationship with him. A ladder, though, is temporary. When a new house is built, a ladder is used to temporarily link two floors. Once the house has been completed, the ladder is removed and replaced with a permanent staircase. Well, here in our gospel reading, we see Jacob's ladder being replaced with something much more permanent, the Son of Man himself, Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one of God. Through Jesus, God's blessing has been opened up to all peoples, made permanent and everlasting. Jesus pioneers the new way in which the living God will be present and with his people. Jesus is the Son of Man who opens heaven to all who believe and trust in him. This is the message, then, that Jesus had for his first disciples and that he has for us today. As he turns to Nathanael and says, "You will see greater things than merely Jesus' supernatural reading of his hopes and fears," he is saying to Nathanael, his disciples, and to us, that if we follow him, we will see truly astonishing things. Jesus' power stretches beyond mere insight. What we will see with Jesus is the reality to which Jacob's ladder and the Jewish scripture that Nathanael knew so well had been pointing. Jesus shows us what happens when heaven and earth are bridged. He shows us what it is like to be in God's kingdom. Why? Because if we follow his example and live to serve, to love, and to hope, we will see God's kingdom built here on earth. Jesus' reading of Nathanael's thoughts pales into insignificance against the true wonders of God's heavenly kingdom. If we follow Jesus, we too will see God's kingdom. We too will see the greater things that Jesus promised his disciples. No matter how we respond to Christ's call on our lives, we will witness miracles in our own lives, in those around us, and in the world in which we live. No matter whether we respond as Philip did, unquestionably accepting Jesus' call, trusting instantly in his word, or whether, like Nathanael, we have questions that can only be answered by an encounter with Christ, we are part of God's new kingdom. The question today is, will you respond to that call of Christ? When Jesus asks us to follow him, will we do so? Will we accept that call on our lives? And if we will, how will we respond to that call? Will we, like Philip did, be eager to rush out and to tell our friends about Jesus? Will we want to bring them to Jesus so that they too can have an encounter with him for themselves? Will we urge our friends to come and see Christ for themselves, as Philip did Nathanael? Whatever we do, let's ensure that we respond to that call and play our part in building God's kingdom here on earth, in the here and now. Let us pray.